Hello, listeners. It's Fanacek here. Oh, man, I'm excited. I thought I would spend a few minutes with you telling you what to expect for season 3 of the podcast, which is rolling out here in a few days. But before we do that, let's explore the past, right? Because those who don't understand history are doomed to repeat it. I'm not sure that applies here, but it sounded something like something intelligent to say. Season 1, of course, the theme was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. At the time, I was really obsessing over the movie, and I wanted to dive deeper, explore it, learn more about the characters and the actors from the film, and I had a lot of fun doing it. I hope you guys learned something along the way, because I sure did. Then season 2, I was like, you know what I'm interested in right now? I like the concept of movies that became failed TV shows. Like, why did they do this? I didn't even know they did this. I had no clue that Foul Play was ever a show. I had no clue Serpico was ever a show, or Paper Moon for that matter. So it's just really interesting to me. And then for season 3, what I thought I would do, I'd call it a celebration of TV. So as I've said before, but I'm going to reiterate now, I don't think I grew up with the same relationship as television as most people. You know, TV for me, unfortunately, was a bit of a parent, a friend. It was my babysitter. It was a companion, really. You know, I didn't have the greatest childhood, and for lots of periods of time, I was home alone at night quite a bit. So I was obviously watching TV shows and probably shows I shouldn't be watching. Like, I remember watching Cheers at a very young age, and that kind of, that's just one example. And cop shows, Hill Street Blues, and that kind of stuff when I was like basically a baby. And you know, my mom wasn't around that much, series of stepfathers, so I just kind of leaned into television. It was just my escape. It was really a form of escapism for me. And for better or for worse, I feel like I learned, I hate to say this, I think I learned how to be a man from TV, which means no one ever told me, well, how to be responsible or how to be a parent or here's how you should be a leader at work or what kind of husband you should be. I learned all of that from television. And there were some good examples, right? There was also some pretty shitty examples. But even the good examples weren't really attainable. Like, you can't watch, you know, Danny Tanner from Full House or Dr. Huxtable on The Name Cosby Show and learn how to be a good dad just because they were good dads. It wasn't really attainable. Just like, you know, watching Sam Malone on Cheers. I was like, well, it doesn't mean I can go out and be a ladies' man. So even the lessons I was learning, I kept feeling I was falling short of them. And oftentimes there's things I should be falling short of because it wasn't really a good goal anyway. I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling. But TV was just probably the most significant thing in my life prior to 18, 19, 20 years old. And that, I'm not saying that bragging. So I thought I would do is I would do a celebration of the people who created the most important content of my lifetime, the people who really shaped TV for me. And I think, honestly, they kind of helped shape TV for everyone. So I'm going to give you some examples of the people I'm going to talk about. But I know at one point, season 3, we're really going to dive into Norman Lear. He's probably the most important a television producer in history, certainly of the second half of the 20th century. You know, he created things like All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Maude, Good Times. Think about that. He brought racism, abortion, divorce, rape, sexism, cheating into sitcoms. I mean, he brought it into people's living. He forced the issue. It was groundbreaking. And you laughed a lot along the way. Then I'm also talking about Aaron Spelling, who's arguably the most prolific producer in the history of the medium, certainly the wealthiest. I mean, this guy basically shaped the 70s and 90s of TV, because when you go back, I mean, he created Charlie's Angels, Mod Squad, what else? 90210, Melrose Place, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island. I mean, this guy created entire genres of TV, and really, like I said, shaped the 70s and 90s. I want to talk about Lorne Michaels. I mean, everyone knows Lorne Michaels, SNL, which that alone is worth, you know, diving into, but his footprint has been on a lot more projects than just SNL. For the last 50 years, this guy's really helped shape what TV and comedy are, what talk shows are. And so I'm going to dive into that. Stephen Bochco. I mean, my man, Stephen Bochco, we're talking Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, LA Law. So I want to talk about him. Stephen J. Cannell, right? Stephen J. Cannell. I mean, off the top of my head, Rockford Files, Hunter, one of my favorite shows of all time, 21 Jump Street. That's Stephen J. Cannell. James L. Brooks. James L. Brooks is one of my favorite film directors of all time. But when you look at his TV career, this guy was one of the driving forces behind Rhoda, Mary Tyler Moore, Lou Grant. He brought to television and produced a little show we like to call The Simpsons. I mean, holy shit, that's almost 40 years old. Donald Belisario. So Donald Belisario, actually, I got my first ever acting paycheck from Belisario Productions from the show JAG. But he also did Battlestar Galactica, Airwolf, Magnum PI, of course, JAG, NCIS. I've never even seen NCIS, but holy shit, it's been on forever, and there's like 85 of them. I mean, this guy's got to be beyond wealthy, but I mean, he shaped TV. James Burrows. My gosh, James Burrows. Easily the greatest director in television history. I read a great book about him called Directed by James Burrows. I'll be referencing the book. But this guy was one of the driving forces behind Taxi, Cheers, Friends, Will and Grace. He has directed more pilots than any other director in the history of television because he's the go-to guy. When you have a good idea and you need the best, you need the Babe Ruth of directors to direct that pilot to make sure that it gets picked up by the network, you go to James Burrows. He's also the most beloved guy in the industry. Chuck Lorre. Chuck Lorre, if you've watched TV at all in the last 20 years, you owe a great big case of champagne to Chuck Lorre, and I'm going to tell you why. Grace Under Fire, Sybil, Dharma and Greg, Two and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, Mom, Mike and Molly, and of course now Young Sheldon, right? Which I guess spinoff, sequel, whatever you want, or prequel rather, to The Big Bang Theory. Also, Chuck Lorre firing Charlie Sheen gave us 2010, which is one of the greatest years of pop culture history. That's basically Charlie Sheen going fucking nuts for a year. That's because of Chuck Lorre firing him for Two and a Half Men. I love it. And then Marcy Carsey and Tom Werner, right? They're the driving forces behind things like The Cosby Show, Different World, Roseanne, one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, Roseanne, Third Rock from the Sun. And these are the things that we're going to be diving into in season three. I'm going to focus on who they were as people, what their big hits were. But we're also going to dive into, because it's Vanacek, and this is what I love, the obscure stuff. Like, if they created such great content, what didn't get picked up? I'd love to see what Norman Lear produced that didn't make it. What Aaron Spelling, you know, tried to get picked up as a pilot but failed. Chuck Lorre. I mean, the last 20 years has been all these successes, but there were a lot of failures leading up to it. And I want to dive into that stuff too. The what could have beens, the what should have beens, the what were they thinkings, all that stuff. So that is what you have to look forward to in season three of Vanacek. So what I would recommend doing is get your headphones out, your phone, whatever you listen to podcasts on, and stay tuned for the next exciting episode of Vanacek.